Charlotte Zwerin's new documentary about Thelonious Monk is pretty terrific. I have a couple of quibbles with it, but they don't amount to much. The reason it's terrific is there's so much of Monk himself in it. On the bandstand, backstage, on the road, on the street, and in the recording studio. Monk is one of the more misunderstood jazz masters, a personal eccentric with a piano style to match. His approach was so different from the norm, some folks thought he couldn't really play at all. Thelonious Monk could play the piano. It's just that he played by his own rules and fashioned a technique to his own specific needs. When you see his hands at the keyboard, and there are lots of opportunities to do that in this movie, you realize that Monk wasn't just splanking around. He obviously chose his notes with great care, sizing up the keyboard visually before striking a chord or hammering out a line. To make things difficult for himself at the keyboard. He'd wear a large loose ring on the small finger of his right hand, so he'd have to keep pushing it back into place in the course of a solo. In one scene in the movie, he fishes a handkerchief out of his pocket so he can wipe his face and passes it back and forth from one hand to the other while he's playing. Because of his odd ways and odd name, Thelonious Monk was sort of a joke in the culture at large. In 1964, Time magazine wrote him up as a zany kook, and his name alone was a running gag on the old Dobie Gillis TV show. In the movie, you get a sense of how he was regarded, from the jivey way record producer Tio Macero deals with him at a recording session, and from this interview with a German TV reporter.
Mr. Monk, you always wear different hats and caps in your concerts. Do they have an influence in your music?
No.
That's a good question.
Maybe they do, I don't know.
And do you think that the piano has enough keys, 88, or do you want more or less?
It's hard work to play those 88s.
That episode happened on a European tour on which Monk led an octet that played scaled-down versions of charts written for his big band. We see and hear that octet on stage and in rehearsal. That band never went into the studio, by the way, so the movie and the soundtrack album contain some newly released Monk music. Most of Thelonious Monk's Straight No Chaser was shot by documentarist Christian Blackwood in New York and Europe in 1967 and 8 for a one-hour German TV special that was shown just once. Most of it has never been seen before, and all of it is new to American audiences. Director Charlotte Zwerin has augmented that footage with new interviews with Monk's son and a few associates, but it's Thelonious himself who dominates. There are also a few minutes of voiceover narration that don't really explain Monk's position in the music, and pianists Barry Harris and Tommy Flanagan play a couple of duets on Monk tunes that don't especially illuminate his composing. Those are the minor quibbles I mentioned. Monk could be a difficult and withdrawn man, and Straight No Chaser acknowledges that side of him, but it's also the funniest movie about a jazz musician ever made. Monk's playful nature came out in his music and in his personality, and Zwerin captures both. Warner Brothers picked up distribution of this film at the behest of Clint Eastwood, jazz's guardian angel in Hollywood. I'm told that Warner's expects to make its money back when it's released on video. They probably will. Straight No Chaser is rich enough to stand up on repeated viewings. Hardcore Monk fans, me included, will have to have a copy.